Chapter 32. Earth. The Day of Crossover. Henry O'Brien tried to hide his fear and appear strong for his darling daughter. Inside, he trembled over the unknown, the mysterious other world, and the hocus-pocus means of getting her there. Fundamentally, he disagreed with the mission to Idyllium, but trusted his daughter. More than he feared, she knew. He had no trust in the machine that shook her violently and filled the room with smoke like some overhyped magician's stage prop. Given Shay's recent outburst when he mentioned religion, the sign of the cross may have been too much. He needed to express his faith, even if she no longer shared it. Wordlessly, he prayed for her safe arrival and noted how that pushed his former petitions for her to see the light and do the righteous thing to second place. For the first time in his life, even after losing his dear wife and the spiritual ruination of his daughter, he questioned if anyone heard his silent requests. So many seemed to have gone unanswered, and he desperately needed this one to be granted. "Get her there safely, Lord. Please look after Moi Shay," he repeated in his head as that geoval contraption jerked her about. He kept the Gaelic quasi-swear word from his prayers, but would have to face the confessional for letting God find it musing in his mind. Something happened that couldn't have been right. Its relevance didn't present itself until the smoke had cleared. Henry gasped when the blue-gray gases funneled like little tornadoes into the return ducts. Although expected, the sight of his little girl and her teammates having vanished with the cloud sent his heart racing. Had it worked or gone horribly wrong? Who was that on the floor? The sultry creature beside him jumped to her feet. The old man clasped the armrest so hard Henry thought he'd rip them from the chair.
"What's happened?"
Henry asked, afraid of the answer he desperately needed to hear.
"Who's down? What's happened?"
"It's Malcolm," the woman said. Her name escaped him.
"Well, go help him. Check he's alive or something."
The woman stood as a mannequin in the window, only she spectated the scene on the other side of the glass.
"I'm the bleeding SCL, not the janitor. And you're lucky to even be in this complex, Mr. O'Brien. If I hadn't owed Cat..."
"Is he?" the old man asked. Henry hadn't heard him speak before. The weakness of his voice didn't surprise him.
"Looks pretty dead to me, Walter. His skin's practically melted off his face."
Henry picked himself up and squinted at the glass.
"Dear God."
"Oh, I'm sure your God had nothing to do with this. Walter, I'll handle this on paper."
"On paper? What about that poor boy in there?"
"Mr. O'Brien, implication is obviously lost on you, so allow me to translate my earlier words. When I said you were lucky to be here, I meant keep your mouth shut."
Henry sat and watched as people in white coats lifted what remained of Malcolm's body onto the gurney. He all but lost his breakfast as fluids dripped from the young man's cuffs and hems. Only then did he remember the name Sharon had mentioned, the team member who had caught her eye and captivated her heart. The glint in Shay's eye shone as the spark of life Henry missed terribly in her mother. He imagined it going out when Sharon learned what had happened. If she even made it over there. The SCL tapped on the tablet in her hand.
"Looks like they made it.
Can we bring them back?"
The look Henry received for breaking the "keep your mouth shut" directive hit him like a good Catholic school nun's scolding.
"The whole point of this was to get them there. They're there. Besides, it's a one-way trip. We don't have these transfer chambers over there."
"What?"
Henry pointed at the empty chamber.
"Did they know that?"
The glare lingered before the callous woman stormed out. The chairperson said nothing, shaking his head as he stepped around Henry to follow his second-in-command out of the observation room. A youthful figure filled the doorway of the small space and led Henry back to the waiting room under armed guard accompaniment.
"Do you know what's happened to my daughter?" Henry asked his escort.
The man paused, then closed the door.
"They crossed safely is all we know. We need to wait for their first update transmission.
They have a comm system, but it can only send across the void, not receive."
"You mean we can't talk to them?"
"Afraid not, sir. We'll get regular updates. As far as we know, the rest of the team is fine and starting their mission."
"They're down one man."
"Yes. But if anyone, the loss was acceptable."
"Acceptable?"
"Sorry. I know you're a civilian. I'm not being cold about it. We had 3 security personnel on the trip, but 1 captain, 1 scientist, and 1 comms expert. I mean, the mission can continue as planned. Our future is in their hands."
"Son, I need you to do something for me. I'm not permitted to stay, but I need to know as soon as you hear from them that my Sharon is okay."
I'm not sure.
She's my only child. I lost her ma years ago. Please, just to know she's okay."
The man's subtle nod gave Henry hope. In exchange, Henry gave the man his number.
"And they really can never come back?"
"That's what I understand, sir. But we'll all be headed over there soon enough, so don't worry."
The most useless words in the English language. "Don't worry. You must not have children."
"No, sir. Please, I must escort you out."
"Before we go, I need one more wee favor.